Midway USA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high-quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping. MidwayUSA.com.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
I'm April Vokey, and you are listening to Anchored, my chance to speak with some of the most influential people involved in the outdoors today. Join me as I travel to sit face-to-face with my guests in their own homes to learn more about their careers, opinions, history, relationships, and life both indoors and out. This episode is brought to you by Line & Sight. Line & Sight is an innovative community where anglers can sign up, post their own articles, follow other anglers, and earn points online. Devoted to the sport, Line & Sight promotes all methods of fishing year-round with videos, interviews, how-to guides, plus the latest and greatest in product reviews. You'll even find regular giveaways of high-end product as well as fresh weekly content about all things fishing. Check them out at www.lineandsight.com. The Seychelles is undeniably one of the most spectacular destinations on the planet. When you pair up its incredible fish species with one of the most beautiful and remote lodges in fly fishing, it's world class. This April, I met up with Devin Fundermarve from Alphonse Fishing Company. With 9 years managerial experience at Alphonse, he has played an important role in the atoll's development. Devin heads up 26 professional guides, captains, and deckhands, and runs a fleet of 48 vessels designed to work in the most logistically challenging environments. He was the perfect person to speak with about the operation.
So I was born in a little mining town, a coal mining town, Witbank. It's southeast of Johannesburg in South Africa. It's got very little to do with fishing, a lot to do with coal mining. But obviously it's got a couple of streams and rivers and dams around it, so that's home. It's still home at the moment. We're looking at possibly moving to other areas in the country, but I've grown up there. I've been there for 32 years now, so that's home.
Is that how old you are?
Yeah, I'm
32. Are you 32?
32, 1985.
God, you've come a long way, Devin. Now, tell me about your name, because I've always called you Devin. Is it Devin?
It's actually pronounced Devin.
Devin.
Yeah, Devin. So, the way I understand it, I haven't really got into the details of it. I'm not too fazed, but I always tell the girls they can call me Divine. And actually what it does mean in German, it means a comfortable couch. To be honest, so where's the significance? I don't know.
That's actually really funny. Is it Dutch at all?
Yeah, it's Dutch.
It is.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. It's making
That's
sense.
That's where it's from.
Okay, now, I suppose I should explain to the listener how we met and just kind of give a better overview of this.
Yeah.
Right now we are sitting in Seychelles. We're on Alphonse. Now, what is it? An atoll, right?
Yeah, it's an atoll. It's an old volcano. It's got a big lagoon in the middle. It's got dried out coral reefs, and it's just home to an incredible diversity of marine wildlife. So it's in the middle of the Indian Ocean. So you can just imagine the entire big deep ocean, and there's a little island in the middle of it that, yeah, that makes it quite attractive.
I first met you in this exact spot. How many years ago was that?
It must be 8 or 9 years ago, maybe 8 years ago, I think. I just started getting a bit of a stubble, so that was perfect. and then, yeah, it's just gone so quickly. It doesn't even feel like that long ago,
though. I know. That's what's scary about it. I didn't have gray hair back then. Okay. Now, when we were here, I remember you were head guide. And you had things really under control. Yeah. And then I felt like I went away for a bit and I did my thing. And obviously you were still here.
Yeah.
And when I ran into you again at ICAST, was it last year or the year before?
Yeah.
Probably 2 years
ago. 2 years ago, yeah.
And you said, you need to come back. And I'm looking going, are you still head? Wait a second. Why are you in Orlando? Wait, what's your involvement happening with the company? So what's happened in the last 8 years? Can you kind of walk me through a timeline from the beginning?
We've obviously had we arrived here as four South African guides, and we just kicked it off. Lucky enough to get the opportunity and thought we'll be fishing every day. And didn't really understand the saltwater guiding side of it too much, and ended up running through the logistics of the company and getting to understand it a little bit and how to work with people that share the same passion and share this industry, but doing it with them in a confined space. We're on a little island. We're trapped. You can't walk away from things. No. You're sometimes living on a boat, sharing crew quarters, and you're going to have the right people to work with. And that's been our saving grace, is the people that we work with, the people that end up not just falling under your command, because we don't run it like that. We're all the same. We're all doing the same thing, and we all share that same passion. But so I took over the head guide position and took that through for about 8 years, and then met up with Keith and the rest of the team and decided to expand a little bit and use whatever we've learned throughout the time on the water and off the water. Focused a lot of the conservation of the properties, and also making sure that it's there for not just the people of the Seychelles, but for our future generations, and just doing the right thing by protecting it, practicing strict catch and release. And we've actually seen the value of our fishery increase with the amount of fish we catch and release, doing 16,000-17,000 fish a season. And it's just growing every year. So 8 years ago, we would do 13,000 fish. We're doing about 17,000 fish now.
Whoa!
So it's in this world, this day and age, things go backwards. And we're quite proud of the fact that we've put in all our efforts to conserve it and get it there. So the head guide position was just because we had to have one. The whole team did their thing. We obviously, when things went wrong, I would handle it, but the team just carried us through the whole thing, and everyone climbed the ladder equally. So at one stage we realized that this place has got a little bit more to offer than just the best fly fishing in the Seychelles. So we reopened the dive center and we reopened the leisure side of it, and we made sure that we could put a couple of bums in beds and just tick over so that we can grow and expand and make sure that we look after this properly. And it's taken a good 4 years for us to get there now, and I feel that we are. The fishery is still as healthy as it's ever been, if not better. The guides are way more trained up and experienced. They stay with us for longer. They come from other destinations that's had some form of a impact in saltwater fly fishing, and we just take the best that we can get. We don't take on any normal Tom, Dick, and Harry. We just take the best, and obviously we're looking at personalities, and then teach them how to fish. That's basically it.
It shows. I mean, I've only fished so far 3 days, and I've been nothing but impressed. Technically, then the company went through a change of management.
Yeah.
And that would have been 4 years ago?
Yeah, 4 years ago, Keith Rosinas and Murray Collins, they took over Alphonse Island. They started managing it in 2013. Started managing it for a year remotely, getting involved a little bit. But our same team from Great Plains that originally took it over, they started managing it. And we kept our team. And eventually at the end of that season, we went through a bit of a change. And we made sure that we bring in the staff that we've had from De Roche Island and other destinations to come in and get this place going, getting it to a level where we need it. So obviously alarm bells went off when our old owners gave us jobs to do, like counting screws and counting washers and bolts. And I'm like, what's happening here? Why all of the sardine do we need to do this, you know? Eventually put two and two together, and here comes the Collinses, and they buy the property, which is perfect. We've known about the Collinses. I've known about Keith as well for many, many years, obviously reading about him in magazines, and he's kind of idol and all of that. But he rocked up and spilled the beans that they're planning to take it over. And I was extremely excited, and so was the rest of the group. The guides on the island, we got by with very little. We would have to, you would have to really look after your only little tin of soap to clean your boat for years. You know, now we've got the best biodegradable, environmentally friendly products to just clean boats. You know, so it was an awesome change, because we knew that they've invested a lot of money in the country. They're not going anywhere. This is not a money-making scheme. This is a passionate buy, and you could see it. The first time I met Murray Collins as well, we went bone fishing within the first 20 minutes of landing here with his own jet. You know, here's a multi-billionaire with flip-flops and funny baggy shorts that loves fly fishing. And he would open his fly box, and it's full of rusty flies. And I'm like, come on, dude, you need to – let me take you to the shop. Made a bit of money out of him then. So that was good. But, and then we went fishing, and a couple of months down the line, the deal was signed and they took over. So we decided to keep a core team on the island. Everyone had a choice. It was up to them to either move on or explore different venues or avenues in their lives. But we basically still have... we've got guys here that have been working for us for 16 years. They've been on Alphonse for 16 years. They've been part of the original build of the hotel. Serge Sampson, one of our guides, he was employed to take coral, put it in a crusher, and dispose of it on the beaches, building beaches around here. That's how Serge got to the island. He then worked on Tam Tam, which was a mothership, a blue water operation that operated off Alphonse, using the lagoon as safe mooring and the runway for getting their guests to turnover. And Serge became a blue water guide, and then eventually became a flats guide after hours on the mooring around the flats, Tam Tam flats, catching bonefish, and then eventually explored the rest of the atoll and realized that GTs are quite hungry and triggerfish are stupid or clever, however you want to call them. And so we've had pioneer guides here that have Wayne Haslow, he's figured it out. He figured out the whole milkfish code with Arno Mathieu, and those guys have been on this island. They've all done their part in showing us the way on how to proceed with it. And to this day, I will only fish for milkfish the way Wayne showed us how. I'll use the same leader out of respect for him. I'll use his same fly, even though things have changed and it's become a little bit easier. But I still get all my clients to tie a triple bimini with a step down to a slim beauty and a beautiful little knot and barbless hooks, and just making sure it's all done the right way. And I think that's how it should be, you know. Keep those guys involved as much as possible, because they set it up for us. Murray and the rest of the crew realized that they've got a good bunch of guys here. They're going to look after them, and the opportunities never really changed, but it was just the comfort of knowing that what we've worked for is, it's actually now coming out. We can now invest in what we can now make a decision. As a young guy, you know, you're living a dream by guiding in a destination like this. You're catching incredible fish every day. And you always share the same experience with a guest. For example, it doesn't matter what guest you have, what fisherman you're guiding that day. He might have $1 billion. He might have $1 billion in debt. You don't know. But once they're here, we all share the same product. We all share the same reason. And we want that as bad as you do, you know. So realizing that you can, what we've worked for and what we've decided on as a career is now actually a reality. This is happening. It's not like maybe next season we close the doors. We never know. After a company's gone through two recessions, it's a tough one.
Yeah.
You don't know. You know, you're like, man, maybe I should start looking at normal jobs. And it's impossible to think like that. I hate that thought. And then when the Collinses came in and really put the hammer down and invested the right way into the property, we realized that this is our home now. We're not going anywhere.
Who are they? Are they American? Are they from the UK? Who are they? Seychellois? Who are they?
So the Collins family is a South African family. They're from Natal in the Durban area. They've been involved with De Roche Island for a few years in Seychelles. And then obviously the De Roche side of it was quite a leisure experience and great scuba diving and great blue water fishing. But the flats fishing wasn't really as active and good as what it would be at Alphonse. But they had other properties that they could go and fish on, Poivre and St. Joseph. So those areas were only really fished for by the fly fishermen that went to De Roche. So with them all being enthusiasts and they really love the game, they would come and visit Alphonse once or twice and saw the potential in it as well and saw the gap in the market and took it. But yeah, it's a conservation driven project. Every single thing that we implement, every single option that we go through has got a positive outcome either to the people of the Seychelles or projects about just the conservation side of it is really what we're after. Obviously, we need to make a bit of money to keep the place running and keep it in good nick. And that's why it is quite an exclusive destination. And I think it shows for itself. We've got an 80% return rate on most clients. So,
yeah, a lot of people who are here this week have been here before.
Absolutely.
Let's paint a picture for everyone who's listening.
Yeah.
Okay. Seychelles is a country off the coast of Africa.
Yeah.
And how many islands does the Seychelles consist of?
So you've got two parts to it. You've got the inner islands and the outer islands. The inner islands are mostly granitic islands. So those are the typical big granite boulders with beautiful coconut trees and a private little beach with turquoise blue water just slushing away. Population in Seychelles at the moment is about 89,000 people. So
that's it?
Yeah, that's it.
Total for all the islands?
Yeah, so that's Mahé is the capital, and then they've got Praline and La Digue, which is another two bigger islands just off Mahé, and that's sort of the main population. But the outer islands, moving further on the Amarantes group, going down towards El Dabra, Farquhar, Astove, Cosmolito, Alphonse, the Alphonse group of islands. That's really as far as you can go by boat or by plane. And most of these islands are uninhabited, but some of the bigger islands have got either some form of IDC presence. The IDC Island Development Company, they manage all these islands. They manage all the outer islands, and they ensure that there's no drug trafficking going on. There's no, they just ensure the safety and the protection of these atolls and islands.
Okay, now Alphonse, then you started earlier. You were saying that's a volcano that over time has sunk.
Yeah.
So if you look at a map, what you're looking at is basically like an eagle's view or a bird's eye view of the volcanoes. Where it almost looks like a donut, right?
Yeah, exactly. So the core of the volcano is the lagoon. So that's where it all erupted. It erupted out of the lagoon and then formed the outer reef. So as it cooled down, the water cools down, and then it slowly sinks in. And the reef basically sinks down and the ocean covers it. So I think in the next 500 years, this will be underwater. You won't be able to, it will just continue sinking. But it's millions of years of it happening. So I think that's what makes it quite special, is that you've got a 3,000 to 4,000 foot drop-off within 60 meters from the breaking waves. So that's why the reefs are so untouched. The fish are forced to spawn and breed on these outer reefs and in the lagoons, and it's just a safe haven. It's just perfect breeding opportunities, and no wild animal will have to move unless there's not enough breeding grounds or food. So, and it's all, yeah, that's why it's so abundant. That's why it's just flourishing. And we've been fishing this area selectively and the right way for over 16 years, but really targeting them on fly for about 10, 11 years. And you would go back to the same spot over and over and have the same experience. It just doesn't change.
Is there any commercial fishing out here?
Well, there's the commercial fishing in the Seychelles is quite big. The tuna trade is one of the biggest incomes to the country. So the Seychelles government opened up a couple of extra fish processing factories. It's an incredible income to the country. And that's mostly tuna-based. So they do the tuna trade is really big. The commercial fishing around these islands is more a sustainable fishing method. So these guys would catch for the local market. Prices are extremely high in the market as well. Mm. So, yeah, the areas around Mahé and the nearby islands, you can definitely see it. There's a negative impact there. But these islands closer towards the Aldabra group, the Alphonse group, that's untouched. It's got a it's so far to really get here that doesn't make financially sense for the small operations to get here. And to be honest, the type of fish that live on these atolls wouldn't really be what everyone's after. There's much more money in yellowfin tuna and the tuna industry than a boat coming down with 100 or 200 kgs of bottom fish, you know. So yeah. There's still active fishing with long lines in the Seychelles, but there's a lot of moves towards it now that I'm sure within the next couple of years we'll have a bit of better control over it. But we also need to understand that this is the way of their life. This mm-hmm. is the way these guys have grown up. And it's just a matter of creating awareness that there are other ways to make money. We don't have to make money like this. There's so many other options that we can get everyone involved with to get by, you know, the right way. So the fishing industry in Seychelles is obviously extremely attractive, and it's grown significantly with foreign influences into the country as well. Guys are coming here from all over the world with the biggest sport fishers that you can imagine, and they've got massive marlin tournaments and billfish tournaments. And look, like any fishery that gets overfished, the Florida Keys, anywhere in the world, there's a negative impact on it. And I strongly feel that it's our job and it's our responsibility to educate and find different alternatives and solutions to generate income without killing them. The value of a fish that you recapture is great.
Yeah,
that's a good one. Yeah.
Well, in past, what was the biggest environmental concern out here so far away from commercial anglers?
So we're situated about 7 degrees south of the equator. So the cyclone band usually gets quite active from about 9 degrees south. So we're a little bit higher up, which keeps us safe. I would hate to think that anything would happen here, but to some of our other islands like Estove and Cosmolito, those areas are they're known to get quite a big cyclone hit every now and again. And recently we've had Cyclone Fantala destroy Farquhar Island completely. 350 kilometers an hour of wind just absolutely destroyed the entire island. And it was an island 10 times the amount of trees that we've got on Alphonse, massive casuarinas, tons of coconuts just snapped in half, buildings destroyed, generators being flown around, tractors uplifted, just a nasty, nasty cyclone. And I think that would be our biggest concern. Obviously, global warming and water levels rising and water temperature rising, our reefs are being bleached. It's a reality. So we've got a conservation society on the island that would do a lot of the temperature probes around the reefs and do a lot of the research and managing that and coming up with ideas on how we as humans can do what we're supposed to do. And obviously it's a big battle, but I think with the continued support from various individuals and NGOs, it's doable. And I'm sure whether we stop it or we at least redirect it would be the aim of the game at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think you guys have more of an impact than you realize too. You don't know this, yeah, but when I left, when I was here the first time, you guys are the ones who actually kickstarted my conservation spin.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I'd been conservation-minded, but you know how for a long time you guys had those pink bottles, or you guys still have all the you've upgraded to Yeti bottles but there's no water bottles here.
Yeah.
No water bottles. And so that obviously got my brain ticking. I never touched a water bottle
since.
Willingly or I mean, sometimes you're absolutely desperate, right? Yeah. Although there are times I'll go to the point of dehydration because I'm so stubborn.
Look, after all the data capturing and the research we've done since you've last been here, and technology has helped us quite a bit. We've got a presentation here that gives you goosebumps. We get people that stand up and donate $20,000 just like that. Doesn't matter. It's not so much a personal thing anymore. If there's a big corporate guy that really likes it, he just smashes money down and we can do whatever we want with it the right way. So we've got an Alphonse Foundation, and the foundation looks after all the conservation work around the islands. And what we want to do is create a guinea pig, have Alphonse as a sample of what an outer island should be like, how well it can be managed, and how well we can protect it with the help of the government, with the help of everyone involved. We can make this happen. And if it works, creating these areas of protection, if we bounce that over to all the rest of the outer islands, it'll last for many, many years.
Talk to me about the species of fish you have here on Alphonse.
So we always kick it off with a bonefish. The bonefish is the bread and butter. That's why
we're
all here.
Big bonefish. None of these two – I mean, there's two pounders, but there are some huge
bonefish.
Some
big ones. Last week we caught a 9.6 pounder, which is 74 centimeters. That's a really big bonefish. That's what we like. You get some gnarly big ones here. You get a lot of small fish as well, and – if you're not picky, you can catch 50 bones a day, no problem. And that's what attracts people here. That's where this started. We then figured out how to catch milkfish, how to catch triggerfish, three different species of triggerfish.
Can you explain why milkfish are so frustrating?
Milkfish is like a tarpon and he doesn't hunt. So they just don't eat bait fish. They just don't react to a fly, nothing. So you need to know exactly where your fly is. They eat algae.
Yes.
They filter feeders. They've got a fused gill. They don't even have two gill plates. It's a phenomenal fish. It's got a out of proportion tail. It's massive. And that's why they're so strong. And they kick your butt. So if you...
And they get huge here. Like, what's a really big one?
A really big one's 50 pounds.
The one I landed when I was here last was like 25 pounds, and my arm was out of commission for like 2 days.
Absolutely, no, they break your heart. It's quite a special fish for us because this is where milk fishing started in the world of saltwater fly fishing. This is where it started. There's other destinations that's got it. Western Australia, some certain other spots. Actually, all over the world, if you know where to find them, they're there. But it's become a actively target species on our flats. And if the milkfish are out, you put your rods down and you only go for them. That takes priority because they come and go so quickly. Like even these past couple of days, we've been seeing incredible signs, and then the next morning they're just gone. So you have to knock them down when you can. But milk fishing. I think some of our record stats would be 11 fish in a day between two anglers on a boat.
Whoa.
26 to 30 fish a week. So that's quite nice. We've had a couple of stints a few seasons ago with 72 fish in a month. So it's phenomenal fishing. And we know so little about them that we can't determine when they'll be here. But it's mostly weather predictions, weather conditions, and if there's chlorophyll or if there's plankton, these fish will come up and feed. And if you're lucky and you bump into them, we are confident enough to target a single fish and catch it. So there's no other way around it. If you find the mother lode and they're milkshaking and they're going crazy, then you know it's game time. So,
and you have some people who come here and just focus on milks on the flats. Is that right?
Absolutely. We've had quite a few guys that have come here just to catch milkfish on the flats or just to target milkfish.
Yeah.
And they get busy the whole day, every day, and they get frustrated. They break rods. They lose interest, and then bam, gets him, and then it's done.
Back to square one.
Yeah. So look, the fishing is incredible for them. You can catch them on the flats. You can catch them offshore. There's so many various scenarios, but definitely personal best fishing for me would be kneeling down in shallow water and feeding a tailing milkfish. That's quite something. Yeah.
Setting the bar.
Yeah.
Okay. So milks triggers. Indo-Pacific permit, beautiful Indo-Pacific permit. They're like bars of gold. Giant trevally, enormous. I mean, I had a giant trevally today swipe at my popper. It was ridiculous.
Yeah,
I mean, some of these, they're like the size of these couches. It's crazy. There are sailfish. There's marlin out here.
Yeah.
What else is here?
Well, the dogtooth tuna fishery is incredible. So that's a local fish that lives on the reefs. They get up to 150 pounds easily, and they destroy you. They will cost you a couple of fly lines. And yeah, we've got the wahoo, the blue water fishing wahoo on fly, sailfish on fly, yellowfin tuna on fly. There's a whole variety of billfish. We've been catching swordfish at night. You have? Yeah, we have, but not on fly, but okay. we've been chipping away at them.
Yeah.
And we've got a liverboard operation now, Armani, that's been chipping away at it quite nicely. So I'm sure we'll get some results within the next couple of years and be able to actively do it. Permit and the GTs and the triggerfish, the bonefish, there's an incredible variety of reef species as well that people like to target, like blue spangled emperors. It's sort of the save the day fish. When all goes bad, you go to one of the turtle grass flats and catch a 4 or 5 pound blue spangled emperor on a little Borski slider, a very aggressive take, and that saves the day. You've got slime on the hand and there's a high five, and that's all you need.
What other operations do you guys have?
So we've got Alphonse is obviously the hub. This is where all the guides meet up in the beginning, and we go through the setup of the operation, and this is where it all happens. And then for about 15 weeks every season, we've got a 9-month season. So for 15 weeks, we break up and we do Cosmoledo Atoll, which is very well known for an incredible amount of GT fishing. It's up to 500 fish, 700 fish in a season. So that's phenomenal, averaging 80 GTs a week for 8 anglers. So it's really phenomenal. But it's got a fantastic bone fishery. It's got an incredible trigger fishery. I've seen bigger permit there. I've actually chased permit with a 12-weight thinking that it's a big GT, and then I saw him tail, and now I've got only a big popper to chuck at him. So I still tried, but he's spooked.
Yeah.
So, no, it's a phenomenal fishery. And the beauty of the atoll itself is the bird life, the little islands, the sheer volume of it. You would be on 4 skiffs and you won't see another boat the whole day. You're in radio comms and you hear all the good stories throughout the day, but it's you and your guest, and you guys just go and explore. And the fishery looks after you. You know, it's so diverse. It's incredible. The Astove is a liverboard operation, and you stay on a boat called Lone Star. It's a lovely, lovely yacht. It's very comfortable. We've got some of our best chefs on board and best guides on board, so you really get looked after. And it's a very popular destination. You'll be lucky to get a spot a year before you want it. You know,
yeah. So
then we've got Astove Island, which is that's a very special place to all of us. It's got quite a unique system. It's only got one little inlet in the lagoon, so the tide will drop for 11 hours and it'll push for one. So once this pushing tide comes through the little mouth, it's just an enormous amount of fish that come through. The most permit I've ever seen in my life, you get shots at 100, 150 fish on the right tide. Whether they eat or not, it's up to you. But phenomenal bone fishing, big bone fish, 10, 12-pound bone fish easily on a daily basis if you go and target them. lots of small ones as well. Fantastic trigger fishing, but this is a land-based operation. So we've got six cottages, and it's only open to six anglers a week. It's just fantastic to share that fishery. You're walking on, it's a hostile environment. It's jagged coral. It's quite something. So it's not really for the faint-hearted. You need to go there with an open mindset that if the tide's high, you're going to go into the lagoon and go catch some of the best permits that you've ever seen. You're going to hammer the milks and hammer the bones. On the lower tides, the GTs are incredibly active, and it's known to have big GTs, and you bump into monsters, whether you get them because there's so many jagged cliffs and so on, they bust you up and break your fly lines, and yeah, they really teach you a good lesson. So Astove is a land-based operation. Astove is also the heart of Cosmo. So we can't do anything without Astove. That's where we keep all our fuel, all our fresh supplies, all our the runway is on Astove. There's no runway or any form of inhabitants on Cosmo. So people fly into Astove, and then it's a 34-kilometer trip with a Lone Star, with a big boat. So it takes you 2 hours and you're in this massive lagoon, and it's yours for the week.
So speaking of which, we've had to, on Alphonse, mm-hmm. every morning we get up, obviously we have breakfast, then we get on a mothership technically, yeah. and all of us head out. We go through, if you look at the map, you'll see there's like a break. Is that just like a reef break?
Yeah, that's just a natural channel, the Alphonse Lagoon mouth.
So we go through there, and then we head over some really blue water for about 45 minutes.
And that's really deep. That's 5,000 foot deep.
Yeah, I know. My brain's been ticking about it.
It's Canal de Mort, the channel of death.
That sounds about right. What's the next land? Because what people don't realize is after we get through the channel of death.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I think I'm fishing it tomorrow. Am I fishing there tomorrow?
Absolutely, okay, yes.
And then we get to this other island, and that's where all the skiffs are, and then we all get into our skiffs.
Yeah, so you've actually got Alphonse Island, and you've got a little tiny island called Bijoutier. That's just on the side of the main channel. That's obviously, Bijou is a jewel. It's a signature island of the Seychelles, outer islands. And then you pass by that, and it's a 11 nautical mile trip from Alphonse to St. Francois Lagoon, and you moor up there. Then you've got all the skiffs lined up, and your guides jump off and take you fishing for the day. And usually, if you're lucky and all goes well with the crossing and you survive the channel of death, you get to fish for about 8.5 hours a day. And if you're not fussy, you can bend the rod for 8.
That's true. Coming up, Devin and I continue our conversation. With over 80 writers, Line & Sight is committed to recruiting new columnists each month, and their Facebook presence is growing just as rapidly. Be sure to check them out on social media or at www.lineandsight.com. The pirate situation that you guys had a while back. Can you just kind of elaborate on that? Because I know Charles and I wanted to take our honeymoon here, and he was like, oh, I'm not going around any pirates. What is going on with the pirate situation?
Look, the pirate situation has been completely resolved. There's absolutely no concern with regards to any of that. The Seychelles had so much help from various countries that came in and played a very important role in stopping this and sorting it out. 6 years ago, it was a concern, and you made the right call at that stage. If your husband felt like he doesn't want to go to pirates, I can't talk like that, but no, the piracy is not a concern whatsoever. We don't worry about it. We've got an incredible government that runs it and looks after it and patrols it and have spent an incredible amount of money looking after it. So piracy shouldn't be a concern at all. First of all, you're on a land-based operation. You've got a runway an hour away from the nearest mainland, the capital. We operated throughout the piracy season because we were able to do it because of a land-based structure. We didn't have a liverboard. All liverboard operations were cancelled, and that was our gap. So we had all these fishermen that's been wanting to do these trips. They've been saving up forever, and they couldn't go anywhere else but Alphonse.
Right.
And that's where we didn't debarb our hooks on that catch.
Got it. Now, if somebody wanted to book a trip to come here, what is the best website for them to go to?
Well, the best option is just to go directly onto our website, and you'll log on to alphonsefishingcompany.com.
Okay, I'll put the link in the website.
And then, you'll get all the details that you need there, all the pre-trip information, all the frequently asked questions, all the nitty-gritty stuff. The beauty about all these destinations is that we're fully equipped with all the fly fishing gear that you can dream of. If you battle to find stuff in your local shops because it's a specialized saltwater destination and they might not be catering for it, or don't worry about it. We've got it all here. We stock an incredible fishing shop. It's got everything that you need. And I always say to people, if they ask, what fly should I bring? And I say, just bring $150 and buy the right flies here.
Yeah.
And you'll go home with 3 or 4 extra flies. That's it.
Right.
So that's the best way to do it.
What are the top 3 questions people ask you when they want to book a trip?
Mostly is, what is the best time of the year?
What is the best time of year?
So we've got a 9-month period. We're operating from October all the way to the end of May. And honestly, throughout those 9 months, you can choose any specific time and it's going to work for you. There's no pre-spawn behavior or funny natural phenomena or anything that takes place that makes you want to book this specific week. January, February is our rainy season, but a rainy season in the tropics is passing showers twice a day,
right,
which just cools it down. It's perfect, and a very popular time of the year as well. So the only time you can't really fish this is from June to August, because it's the southeast monsoon. And
right,
then you've got 35 knots of a southeasterly every day.
What do you guys do with this place during that time?
Well, we close down for 2 months a year, and then we just do the renovations and the maintenance and get a bit of shut-eye, make sure we get ready for the next season, and then jump back on it. So we used to close down for 4 months a year. This season we might just do 2, because we've opened up a beautiful dive resort as well, or a dive destination. We've got a paddy dive center, and you can do from your bubble makers to advanced scuba diver within a week, you know. So there's a different aspect to the Alphons Island. You can do it all.
Mm-hmm.
You can do the diving, you can do the fishing, you can do all the stand-up paddle boards, you can do nature walks, you've got dolphin safaris, you've got marine biologists teaching you about all the nitty-gritty stuff on a reef flats expedition. You can drink a smoothie in the garden that produces a ton of vegetables a month. You can bicycle rides, you experience the see-through kayaks and sunset cruises and flats lunch, and there's some incredible stuff. Eh?
There's a million things to do.
Yeah.
Second most commonly asked question.
I think people ask, how do you get here? And basically, hub would be Dubai, mostly fly from anywhere in the States or Canada, wherever it might be, fly to Dubai, and then a 4-hour flight from Dubai to Mahé. So usually, if you plan your stuff well, I always suggest that you try and arrive a day before your departure to Alphons, so that you can climatize, you can allow for lost baggage and fixing up bits and pieces, and also just get yourself a little bit over the jet lag. Just get yourself ready, because your time on the water is essential. And so arrive a day before you should depart for Alphons. Lovely hotels and little day rooms that we can assist with in Mahé. Set up a little itinerary that can help you explore a bit of the local markets and get to see that as well. It's interesting. And then a 1-hour flight from Mahé to Alphons on a Beechcraft 1900. We can take 16 passengers at a time, but we only do 12 fishermen per week. So that's the tricky part, is to get a slot to come in. Another option would be directly from Paris to Mahé, or directly from London to Mahé, which is a very comfortable trip, and that's proven to be quite popular with a lot of the people.
Yeah, I could see that.
Mm.
Last most common question.
Look, safety on the island and family oriented situations. The resort can cater for any form of little ones as well. So perfectly safe to travel with the little kids. We've got incredible activities for them, whether it's building sandcastles or whether it's Yeah, just getting involved with a volleyball, with a pool volleyball, and we've got nannies that can look after you. We've got the whole thing that you can arrange. So traveling with family and friends is quite easy, and that's what we've been chipping away at so well for the last 4 years, is making it leisure friendly, making it to a point where the husband can go and catch fish and smell like fish, but the wife can stay on the island and just enjoy the privacy of it, because it's not a commercial operation where you feel like you're the 10th person in line looking for a cocktail. You'll be the only one on the beach getting a personal attendance to cocktails or whatever you need. So
yeah, it's pretty incredible. Yeah. I remember coming here the first time and being blown away.
Yeah.
And now the second time, you guys have just, I mean, I'm speechless. And that concludes this episode of Anchored. Thanks for listening.
Join Captain Justin Leake and Meredith McCord for the best fishing action along Panama City Beach. Tune in to Chasing the Sun every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV.
Once in a while, it's fun to go with, like, just full-blown redneck on these fish. This is like high-tech cane pole fishing right here.
From the white sandy beaches to the crystal blue waters, enjoy the best fishing Panama City Beach has to offer during Chasing the Sun. Sundays at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.